Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Kuf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be commencing is found at the very bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, the last three words. We're continuing a discussion concerning the offering on the Mizbeach, or let us say more accurately, offering outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the question is, Shailav Haloas Chutz. Let us say that which he is putting up on that external Mizbeach lacks the shiur, lacks the quantity of an olive, which is the minimum quantity that would constitute a halah, an offering. However, an additional substance attaches to the meat that I am offering. We saw in our previous shiur in a situation where there was less than a kezias of basar, but the bone that was attached to it completed the quantity of a kezias. And we saw a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if that constitutes an iser of haloas chutz. Our Gemara continues, Boi Rava, Hamale Roish ben Yoino Shein Boi Kezayas, Umelach Mashlimo Le Kezayas Mahu. Notice with our markings, we've double underlined the two cases, this case of Melach Mashlimo Le Kezayas and the case we had before with Etzem Mashlimo Le Kezayas. Here he's offering the head of a bird, which the head of the bird of an Ola Sa'of, an Ola bird offering, it contains less than a kezias of material. However, the salt that one adds to every korban, every sacrifice, has salt added to it. Here, the salt completes the required quantity, namely the required amount, the kezias amount. If this is now offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, does this constitute a problem of haloas chutz? As you can see in our Gemara, we now have a bracketed section, and the length of the bracketed section is indicated by the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a vertical dashed dotted line. At the end of that dashed dotted line, you'll notice that at the beginning of that particular line in the Gemara, the brackets closes. The question, in effect, was asked already, and it ends off with a teku, with a non-resolution. No answer is given. Therefore, the question remains. What happens in the bracketed section? So if we take a look at the note that we have on the inside margin, indicated by the star, we've written, Achrei HaSograim, after the bracketed section, Gemara Mishiva LaSheilas Melech B'Teku. Gemara responds to the question of the salt with a teku. B'Teku, meaning something that remains unresolved. Besoch HaSograim, within the bracketed section, HaGemara Mochicha, the Gemara proves, D'Sheilas HaMelech Einoi B'Hechreach Makbil L'Machlikus Rabbi Yochanan V'Reish Lakish B'Inyan HaEtzem. The Gemara will demonstrate that the question concerning the salt does not necessarily parallel the machlokis Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish we saw at the end of our previous shiur concerning the bone being mashlim the shiur. In both cases we see a substance in addition to the meat completing the quantity of an olive's size. However, the completion of the bone completing the quantity is not necessarily parallel to the salt completing the quantity. However, at first glance, it would seem that this question that Rava was asking would be dependent on the machlokes. Omar le Rava mi Parzakya le Ravashi. Rava from Parzakya addresses Ravashi and says, Lav haino plutai le Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Is it not so that this question concerning the salt would parallel the machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish that we had before concerning the bone? So he answers, no. The question concerning the salt can be raised within Rabbi Yochanan that we saw before regarding the bone, and within Reish Lakish that we saw regarding the bone. Tiboy the Rabbi Yochanan, but Tiboy the Reish Lakish. The question can be raised both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tiboy the Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara now explains each one of these positions. We've squiggle underlined the expression Tiboy the Rabbi Yochanan, and you can see that's indicated with an aleph. And a few lines later, there's a beginning of the line, a squiggle line, Tiboy the Reish Lakish. Tiboy the Rabbi Yochanan. The question concerning the salt can be raised within Rabbi Yochanan. Ad kan lokum Rabbi Yochanan hasam. Up till now, Rabbi Yochanan said what he said over there by the bone, Elo etzem. He said what he did with regard to only with regard to the bone. He said before, just to remind ourselves, that the bone is capable of completing the olive quantity of substance for offering. That is so only with regard to bone, possibly. De mino de bosserhu. It comes from the same substance as the meat. It's part of the animal. Avol melach de lav mino de bar yoinohu lo. However, salt, which is not a substance deriving from the bird, it's a separate mineral altogether. Therefore, it is not related to the bird itself, and therefore would not complete the required quantity. Oy dilma loshna, or possibly the fact that the salt does not come from the bird maybe makes no difference, and it would complete the quantity. So, as you can see, the question, even though we may know Rabbi Yochanan's position with regard to the bone, it doesn't necessarily ensure that we would know his position with regard to the salt. Likewise, Tiboy the Reish Lakish. The question concerning the salt can be raised within what we know about Reish Lakish. Ad kan lokum Reish Lakish hasam. Up till now, Reish Lakish said what he did, namely, with regard to the bone, that the bone does not complete the quantity. Elo de'iporish minei lav mitzvah lasuki. If the bone gets separated from the meat of a sacrifice, there is no mitzvah, there's no expectation or requirement of putting the bone back on the mizbeach. That's in the case in a standard situation where a meat offering is offered up on the mizbeach and the bone gets separated from it. The bone is to remain separate, aval hocha. But in the case of the salt, the iporish minei, if the salt gets separated from the sacrifice, mitzvah lasuki, there is an expectation, there is a requirement of resalting it. Lo, therefore, Reish Lakish would not suggest the suggestion that he mentioned by the bone. Once again, the bone is less essential an item with regard to the meat than the salt is with regard to the sacrifice. Therefore, the salt, being a more essential element, may in fact be mechayev a person who offers the pochos mikazayas of the Rosh Benyana outside and the salt's mashlim mashiur, or possibly that fact that the salt is such an essential element doesn't make a difference, and therefore Reish Lakish would maintain his position of innocence. Teku, the issue concerning the salt remains unresolved. As we look to the side of our Gemara, the outside margin, you notice a Nosei Mivne heading, where we feature a topic and structural note. We feature a diamond, and these diamonds represent Shtei Tshuvois Shel Rebbe Rebozov Shimon, two responses of Rebbe and Rebozov Shimon, Shenoisnim L'Toivas Rebbeza Glili Mul HaRabonan, that they offer for the benefit of Rebbe Yossi HaGlili against the Rabbonan. Sheyesh lechalek bein, there is room to make a distinction between shochet b'fnim u'male b'chutz, l'shochet b'chutz u'male b'chutz. We must go over this point again, based on what we've learned in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Vav. We saw a machlokis on Daf Kuf Vav between Rav Yossi HaGlili and the Rabbonan. What happens in the case of a Tomei that ate Kodesh, that ate sacrifices? Does it make a difference whether the sacrifice is Tomei or Tahor? According to the Tanakhama, it made no difference. The fact that a person was Tomei, he is Chayev, Mishum Tumas Haguf, even if that which he ate, the sacrificial material, was itself Tomei. Rabbi Yosef Glili, on the other hand, says that a Tomei individual who eats a sacrificial meat, it depends. He is considered guilty only if that which he eats is Tahor. But if that which he ate was Tomei, he would be exempt. This machlokis we saw with regard to something mentioned earlier in the Mishnah as well. And that had to do with chutz, with the issue of someone who, let us say, shechted a korban and then offered it up on the Mizbeach outside of the Azara. According to the Tanakhama, if he slaughtered something outside of the Beis HaMikdash and offered it up on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayev. Rabbi Yosef Glili said that this idea of haloas chutz is limited only to something that he shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, but something that was shechted, that was slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash and then offered up on the Mizbeach, he would be exempt. And the reason for that is that if he shechted something outside the Beis HaMikdash, it was already rendered pasul. And the aveira of offering up something outside applies only to something that's not pasul. The Rabbanan in the Mishnah, however, responded that even when one shechts something inside and then offers it up outside, which Rav Yossi Aglili agrees is guilty, nevertheless, the moment the meat is taken outside of the Azara, it becomes pasul. So in effect, you're offering up something that's already pasul. And as we just said, Rav Yossi Aglili concedes that that is guilty. So we have two machlokesim in the Mishnah, one concerning Tomei Shoachal Kodesh Tomei, and the earlier issue concerning Haloas Shechitas Chutz. The Gemara here will focus on the earlier issue concerning Haloas Shechitas Chutz. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that Haloas Shechitas Chutz is potter because he was offering something that was pasul. The Rabbanon, however, had responded and said, even in your case that you can see there is guilt of Haloas Shechitas Pnim, that Shechitas Pnim, once it's taken out into the Azara, once it's taken out of the Azara, it itself becomes unfit, and yet you agree that that case is Chayev. So as we go on in the Gemara, we have two diamonds. These two diamonds are responses on behalf of Rabbi Yosef Glili against the Rabbanan. That nevertheless, there is a distinction between Shochet Bifnim versus Shochet Bachutz. Heshiv Rebbe Tachas Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rebbe answered on behalf of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Ma l'shochet bifnim u ma l'bachutz. The case that Rabbi Yosef Aglili says is chayev, where he slaughtered something inside the Beis HaMikdash and then offered it up on an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash, that is chayev shoyselo shas hakosher, that had a moment that it was actually fit to be offered inside the Beis HaMikdash. That is the reason that when offered outside, it's chayav, it's guilty. Toimar, should you say the same thing, b'shoychev chutz umale b'chutz shaloysa lo shasa kosher, something that was slaughtered initially outside the Beis HaMikdash and then offered up outside, that never had a point that it was acceptable inside. And therefore, when one does namely the shoychev chutz umale b'chutz, for halos chutz of that substance, he is potter, he's exempt. Now, a second approach for defending Rabbi Yosef Aglili against the Rabbanan. Heshiv Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon tachas Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon answers on behalf of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Why Rabbi Yosef Aglili will insist that only the case of Shochet Bifnim and Ma'al B'chutz is Chayev, as opposed to the case of Shochet B'chutz and Ma'al B'chutz, that will be exempt. And let's see how he does it. Ma'al Shochet Bifnim and Ma'al B'chutz. Shekain kodesh mekabloi. if something was slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash, true, it's when it's taken out, it's rendered unfit. However, if once taken out, it were brought back in to the Beis HaMikdash, we would say that it's if it's brought onto the Mizbech, it shall stay there. That's called Kodesh Mekablo. The Kodesh, the Beis HaMikdash, would mekabel it even in the event that it was taken outside. So how can you compare that case of Shoch Mifnim Umala Chutz, which we just got finished saying, Kodesh Mekablo, Tomar, B'Shochet B'Chutz Umala B'Chutz Shein Kodesh Mekablo, as opposed to a case where something was shechted initially outside the Beis HaMikdash. If one were to bring that into the Beis HaMikdash and put it on the altar, we would say take it off. It would be a case of Ein Kodesh Mekablo. Therefore, such a thing is less related to the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore when done outside, if one is Ma'ale, such an item, a case of Shochet B'Chutz, he would be exempt. So we see two answers, Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Shimon, offering their hesberim, their explanations of why there should be a distinction between Shochet Bifnim versus Shochet B'Chutz regarding each one's din of Ha'alah. My Binai, what's the difference between Rebbe's approach and Rebbe Elazar Shimon's approach? So as we see in the Gemara, we will have two points of difference. Omar Ziri, number one, Omar Ziri, Shchitas Laila Iko Binayu. Where an animal, where sacrifice is slaughtered at night. And then, imagine that would be taken and offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rebbe, that never had a Shas HaKosher. It was never fit. It was initially already unfit because it was slaughtered at night. Nighttime is not a time for sacrificial activities. However, according to Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon, something that was shechted at night is something whose psul took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result of that, if it were brought onto the Mizbech, it would not come down. It would be Kodesh Mekablo, as we said before. And therefore, if you have a Shechitas Laila that were offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a Chiyuv of Halo'as Chutz. Rabba offers a second distinction between the Rebbe approach and the Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon approach. Kabbalah Bekli Choyl Iko Binayu. Let's say you have a sacrifice whose blood was received in a non-sanctified vessel. The sacrifice is rendered unfit at that point. In other words, this is a case of a sacrifice that was never fit for being offered. However, and therefore, let's go over that point, since it had not been, it had never had a Shas HaKosher, according to Rebbe, if this were to be offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would not carry with it guilt. However, according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, some of a sacrifice whose Kabbalah was done, B'Kli Chol, if it's brought onto the Mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash, we would say, leave it there. Therefore, a sacrifice whose blood was received in a mundane vessel in a Kli Chol, if that sacrifice were offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would carry with it a penalty. So, as we just saw in the Gemara, we'll read that again. Rav Omar, Kabbalah B'Kli Chol, Ikar B'Nayo. That will be the point of difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon. Tomei She'ochal, Bein Kodesh, Tomei Bein Kodesh Tor, Chayav, Rav Yosef Glili Omer, and Rav Yosef Glili went on to say that a Tomei She'ochal is Chayav only if he ate Kodesh Tor, and not if he ate Kodesh Tomei, as we explained before in our introduction to this section. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. We have a Nosei heading, Nitmo Tumas Haguf, where the individual himself experienced Tuma, the Achakach Nitmo Boser, and afterwards the meat, the sacrificial meat, became Tomei. In such a case, Kule Amalo Pligi Dechayev, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yossi Haglili will agree that even though you have a case of a Tomei She'ochal, Kodesh Tomei, in the Mishnah he said that would be Potter, nevertheless, if the order of events took place like this, he would agree that that's Chayef. However, nitma basar ve'achakach haguf, if the meat became tamei before the individual became tamei, machlokes Rabbi Yosef Glili v'chachamim. Here you'll see the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Glili and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Yosef Glili said that this is the case of tamei she'achasa tamei, that's potter. Mi amrinan, do we say the isur chal al isur be isur koleil? The question will be as follows. If the meat became tamei first, and then the person became tamei. Well, when the meat is tamei, the meat is already osir. So when the person becomes tamei as well, that element of tumas guf cannot be chal on the meat if you hold ein isur chal al isur. That once the meat is osir, it's osir in and of itself, and there cannot be an additional isur of tumas haguf that's chal regarding that has relevance regarding that piece of meat. However, at the point the individual became tomei, which is after, of course, the meat became tomei in this case, at that point it became tomei, he becomes osir in other pieces of meat, in other pieces of tohor meat, so that his isur of tumas aguf has relevance to other pieces of meat. There, one might say that since, and the word for this in Hebrew is migu, since he becomes osir, this person who just became tummy becomes osir with regard to other taller pieces of meat, he becomes osir with regard to this tummy piece of meat as well. Well, if you say that, that's called isur halal isur be isur kolel. If you say thusly, you will then be reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanon that said that bein tomei shachasator, bein tomei shachasatomei, there is a chiyuv. Rabbi Yosef Glili, on the other hand, says that we say ein isur halal isur, that once something is usur, once that piece of meat was usur because of tumas basar, the fact that the person later on became tomei, his tumas haguf is being an additional form level of isur, cannot be superimposed on the isur that the meat already has, being basar tamei. Turning to the Gemara, tamei she'ochal bein kodesh tamei bein kodesh tohor chayov, and Rabbi Yosef Glili said that the tamei she'ochal es hator alone is chayov, as opposed to the case of tamei she'ochal es hatamei. The Rabbanan in the Mishnah said, hey, even in the case of tamei she'ochal es hator, once the tamei person touches the tohor, in effect you have a case of tamei she'ochal es hatamei. So how can you say that tamei she'ochal es hator is any different than the case of tamei she'ochal es hatamei? Shapir kwami the Rabbanan Rabbi Yosef Glili. It would seem that Rabbanan are arguing a strong argument against Rabbi Yosef Glili. Omar Rava. Rava comes to moderate this machlokes. Stage Aleph, the first stage. Kol hecha dinitma tumas aguf achakach nitma basar. Any situation where the individual became tamei and then only afterwards the meat became tamei, the kuli alma lo pligi de chayev, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yosef Glili, that there is guilt for eating the tumas aguf. Shekein tumas aguf bekores. After all, tumas aguf carries with it the heavy penalty of kores, and it was the first iser to be chal. Ki pligi benitmo basar v'acharkach nitmo aguf. The machlokas arises only in the case of the meat becoming tamei first, and then the meat, then the person becoming tamei. The Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon who hold that in this case as well there is a penalty of tumas aguf, they hold amrinon migu, that we apply the migu concept. And let's go over that again. When the person in this case becomes tamei, at that point, his tumas aguf affects other pieces of tohor meat. The other pieces of tohor meat become osir to be consumed mishum tumas aguf, which carries with it a kares penalty. And therefore we say, since other pieces of meat become affected by his tumas aguf that just set in, his tumas aguf will also affect the piece of meat that had been tomei beforehand. That's called an isur koleil. And when you have an isur koleil, we say isur chal al isur. That even though the meat was initially tomei and forbidden, the new isur can be superimposed on it, because that new isur affects at this point other pieces of meat for the first time. Rabbi Yossi Aglili sovar lo amrino migu. Rabbi Yossi Aglili does not accept that kind of logic, and rather says, since the meat was initially usur, ein isur chalal isur, the subsequent tumas akuf cannot be superimposed on the tumas basar alone. And it might be worth mentioning that tumas basar alone does not carry with it a penalty of kores, as is the case when you're dealing with the problem of tumas aguf. The Gemara asks, for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, nihi de migu lo aminon, granted that we do not say migu, this idea of superimposing a second isur because the second isur is chal on other pieces of meat. Nevertheless, tesi tumas aguf de chamira v'tochul al tumas basar. Still, why can't we say that the second isur, namely the tumas aguf, why can it not be superimposed on the tumas basar? After all, the tumas aguf carries with it a more severe penalty, the penalty of kares, which is not the case of tumas basar. And therefore, the more serious offense should be able to be superimposed on the lesser offense. Omar Ravashi responds to this and says, and questions the assumption. Mimai de tumas haguf chamura, who says that tumas haguf, in fact, is more severe than the tumas basar? Dilma tumas basar chamura. The impurity that exists on the piece of meat itself has an element of stringency that tumas haguf does not carry with it. Shekein ein lo tahara b'mikvah. The piece of meat cannot be immersed in a mikveh and thereby be returned to its state of tahara, which is not the case with tumas aguf. Tumas aguf has this element of leniency to it, that when a person is tamei, through immersion in a mikveh, he becomes tahar. Therefore, the suggestion that in the case of nitma basar nachar nitma guf, that tumas aguf should be chal on the tumas basar based on the fact that the tumas aguf is more severe, who says that the tumas aguf is more severe? The Mishnah. Choymer b'shchita mi-ba'aliya, u-ba'aliya mi-b'shchita. There are stringencies that one finds in the case of slaughtering that don't exist in the case of the offering up on the altar. And there are cases of stringencies in aliyah, in the offering up on the altar, that you don't find in the case of slaughtering. Choymer b'shchita, if one slaughters sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's Shchitas Chutz, for the purpose of Achilas Hedyot, for personal consumption, that is considered a violation of Shchitas Chutz. V'hamale v'hedyot potur, one who offers up a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of serving an individual, he would be potter. He is exempt from haloas chutz. This individual, Rashi points out, will be guilty of idol worship. He'll be guilty of idol worship, but as far as haloas chutz is concerned, this is not considered a violation of haloas chutz. So what do we see? That when doing something for the purpose of an individual, when it comes to shchitas chutz, there is guilt. When it comes to haloas chutz for an individual, there is exemption. Chomer ba'aliyah, now we turn to the stringency of the offering up that exists over shchita. Shnayim she'achzu b'sakin v'shachtu pturim. If two people hold a knife and slaughter a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is an exemption. Achzu be'ever v'helehu chayovin. If two people hold a limb of a sacrifice and offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash, they are chayov. He'elah v'chazar v'he'elah v'chazar v'he'elah. A person offered up sacrificial meat outside the Beis HaMikdash and then became aware that what he did was wrong, and then he did it again, forgetting that it was usur. He did it again and discovered that what he did was wrong, forgot himself again, offered up and discovered there's a problem. He's chayav on each action of halah. Let us read this phrase again. He'elah v'chozer v'he'elah v'chozer v'he'elah chayav al kol aliyah v'aliyah chatos. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. For each action of offering up, he is chayav a separate sin offering. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino chayav elo achas, the Eino chayav at sheyale l'roish hamizbeach. Rabbi Yossi makes 2 points. One is that in the scenario we just described, he will be chayav only for one offense, and he is not going to be chayav unless the object on which he offered up the meat was a mizbeach. A mizbeach is an altar made of multiple stones that are constructed, built into a mizbeach, into an altar. Rabbi Shimon, on this second point, disagrees and says, Omer afilu helo al hasela o al hoeven chayav. If the unit on which the meat was offered was a rock or a stone, that would also be chayav, even if it's not a structured, constructed altar. Before we go further in the Gemara, we will glance at the side, the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Mekurs bepsukim, sources in verses, lehochiach shamale kotshim lehedyot bachutz poter midin chutz. V'shochei kotshim lehedyot bachutz chayav. Verses that will show that which the Mishnah taught, that there's a difference between one who is shochet lehedyot, he slaughters a korban for the purpose of personal consumption, versus one who offers up a korban for the purpose of worshipping a private individual. In other words, haloas chutz is a problem of the iser of chutz only when one is offering it to the Almighty. The Gemara, Maishno hamale lehedyot de poter. What is different about the one who offers up to a commoner, which carries with it an exemption as far as the prohibition of ha'aloa is concerned, a thief, Lashem. The Pasuk uses the expression Lashem. Well, b'shchita nami hogsiv Lashem, with regard to shchitas chutz, you also find the expression Lashem. So why do you say that shochat lehedyot is chayev? Shaini hosom, the case of shchita is different. The amakro ish ish. There's a double expression which includes the case of one who is shochet lehedyot. Question, Gabi halah nami ksiv ish ish. By halah, you also find the double expression. So why is it that you say that he's exempt if he's ma'ale lehedyot? The Gemara answers, mi boyale, the double expression is needed for something else. L'shnayim shelubayver chayovin, for the other teaching, namely that if two offer up a limb, they are guilty. Ihachi, if that be the case, if the double expression is for two that are involved in the action, hachinami, in the case of the slaughtering, mi boyale l'shnayim shochtu besachin v'shochtu shechayovin. We should say that if two held the knife while slaughtering, that they should be chayav, as opposed to what we saw in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Shaini Hasam, the case of slaughtering is different. And why is it that two are not guilty? Diamakro hahu, which means echad velo shnayim, only one, to the exclusion of two. Well, ihochi gabi halo nami ha ksiv hahu. In the case of a law, you also find that expression. So why is it that you say that two who offer up a limb outside the Beis HaMikdash are chayav? The Gemara answers, hahu mi boyale, that expression of Hahu is needed limute to exclude shogeg onus umute, a person who does the action of halal but does so with unawareness. These are different forms of unawareness. Shogeg is a reference to self-imposed, let's say, unawareness. Onus is forced, and muta means he's convinced by others, or he's misdirected by others. The Gemara asks, well, ihachi hochonami, here too in the case of shchita, miboya limute onus shogeg umute. Should we not use the word hahu for that purpose, and thereby not saying that only one is that, thereby not suggesting that which we learned before by shochet, that the chiyuv is only when one does it. So the Gemara answers, trei hahu ksivi. In the case of shchita, we have two hahus. As a result of that, I can learn both of these points, that an onus shogeg in muta is in fact exempt, and that in the case of shchita, only one who does it bachutz, as opposed to two holding the knife, only one will be guilty. V'elo lashem lomali. We saw that the expression lashem appeared in the case of shchita. We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, telling you to look at Omid Aleph, and if you notice at the lower part of Omid Aleph, you'll notice also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text a little star, and it's on that line that you see the idea or the fact that Lashem appears by Shechita. But if we're telling you that Shochet Lehedyot is Chayav, that shechting for a person, for the purposes of personal consumption, shechting outside the Beis HaMikdash is a sacrifice, Lehedyot is Chayav, so what is the role of Lashem by Shechita? Answer, Lahotzi Soyer Hamishtalech. This serves to exclude the case of the slaughtering of the goat, the Yom Kippur goat that is sent to the cliff that carries with it the sins of Israel. If one were to shecht that bachutz, he would be potter. And the reason for that is because it's not roi likrav bifnim. It's not fit to be offered inside. It doesn't have this lashem element to it. And therefore, one who is shochet, the soyer la'azazel of Yom Kippur, outside the Beis HaMikdash, would not be chayav mishom shchitas chutz. Chomer bahalo v'chulei. Tana Rabbanan. Before we go on with the Tanaic source that we see in a frame, let us glance to the outside margin. We have our no say heading. Chomer halo mishchita v'chomer shchita mehalo. Stringencies that we find by the offering up over slaughtering, and stringencies by slaughtering that we do not find by halo. Tanu Rabbanan. Ish ish. This pasuk is by halo. Ma tamud lomar. What does the double expression teach me? Answer, L'rabbis shnayim she'ochsu be'evr v'helu she'chayoven, two who hold a limb of a sacrifice and offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash, that they are both guilty. She'ochol, without this pasuk, I would have thought, v'halo dinhu, through logic, we would think that they should be exempt. Uma ha'shoychit v'hedyot she'chayov, shnayim she'ochsu besach v'shoch du'pturin, mind you, the case of slaughtering carries with it a certain element of stringency, and that is that if one is shochet lehedyot, he is chayav, and yet we know that two who hold the knife and shecht and slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash are exempt. Hama lehedyot shepoter, one who offers up for the purposes of serving a commoner, who carries with it exemption, it already is more lenient than the case of shochet. Eino din sheshnayim she'ochsu be'evr v'helu shepturin. All the more we should argue that two who hold a limb and offer it up should be exempt. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk comes to tell me ish ish, divrei Rabbi Shimon. The pasuk of ish ish tells me that two who hold a limb and offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash are in fact guilty. That's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hahu equals Echod Velo Shnayim. He disagrees and says that the word Hahu, in the case of Haloas Chutz, which is a posuk found in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin Posuk Tes, refers to one to the exclusion of two. Im kein matam lomar ish ish. So what is one to learn from the double expression by halah? Answer, dibro Torah kelashon b'nei adam. The Torah at times speaks in a common type expression, and just as commoners double their words at times, the Torah also at times doubles its words, and there's no chidush din, no halacha that is revealed from the fact that there is a double expression. Rabbi Shimon, hi hahu my ovid lay. What does Rabbi Shimon do with the hahu that Rabbi Yossi cited just two lines up? What does Rabbi Shimon do with the hahu word by halah? After all, Rabbi Shimon says that even if two offer up the limb, they are guilty. So hahu can't mean echad velo shnayim. Answer, mi boy ale, remute shogeg onus mute. Rabbi Shimon uses the expression of hahu to tell us that only if the person is aware of what he's doing, he carries with it guilt, as opposed to a case of shogeg onus umute, where he is not aware of what he's doing, he's not aware that what he's doing is a problem. In such a case, he would not be high of kores. Rabbi Yossi, mehu hahu. Rabbi Yossi learns the exemption from kores, shogeg, onus, and mute from the he in the word hahu. And you can see we've squiggled on the he to emphasize that point. Rabbi Shimon himself doesn't see any chiddush in the he, hu hahu lo dorish. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon needs the entire word of hahu to exclude from the penalty of kores, shogeg, onus, and mute, thereby not limiting the penalty of halas chutz to only one. Question: Rabbi Yossi midahai ish ish diruter kolashim bnei adam. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi claims that the double expression of ish ish by halah is a form of common speech, hach ish ish deshchita nami diruter kolashim bnei adam. It would stand to reason that the double expression of ish by shchita should also constitute common speech. So from where would Rabbi Yossi know that one who slaughters for a commoner outside the Beis HaMikdash, that in fact is guilty? After all, we saw that at the beginning of the Gemara that the expression of ish ish was the source for shochet lehedio. So but Rabbi Yossi will tell us that ish ish is dibra turuk to kolashim le'adam, will Rabbi Yossi know that shochet lehedyot is bachutz is chayav? Answer, nafkale midam yechoshev lo'ish ahu dam shafach. From this pasuk where you see it says le'ish, v'afilu hashochet le'ish, even someone who shechts for a person outside the Beis HaMikdash is over, is chayav mishum shchitas chutz. Before we go further in the Gemara, we will notice some diamonds appearing. In the outside margin, we have a nosei mivneh heading. Machloikis Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. We will see a controversy between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan who are featured in these diamonds. Befirush Machloikis Tanoim Rav Shimon Rav Yossi. In their explanation of the Machloikis Tanoim between Rav Shimon Rav Yossi, Mosai Mechayvin Al Kol Aliyav Aliyah Bachutz. When is it that we say that there are multiple chiyuvim, guilts for repeated offering up outside the Beis HaMikdash? We saw this in the Mishnah itself, where it said he'elo, chozer ve'helo, chozer ve'helo, that is chayev, I'll call aliyah v'aliyah. Omar Reish Lakish, Machloikis, Vidalid Veheivorim. The controversy between Reb Shimon and Reb Yossi concerns the offering up of multiple limbs. The Mor Sovar, Reb Yossi, who we saw in the Mishnah representing the let's say, the limited shita or the limiting shita that says he's chayav only one, he holds ki ksiv la sois oisoi al hasholem hu chayav v'enu chayav al hachoser akol behemo ksiv. The Torah, which says that the expression of lasos oso, found in the Torah, which tells us that one is guilty only for offering a complete entity, and one is not guilty for offering a missing, something that's choser, this halacha applies to the entire behema. And therefore, if one is offering a singular aver, he would not be chayav, because a singular aver would be considered a situation of chaser. However, if he's offering up multiple avarim, according to Rabbi Yossi, all of the avarim of the animal would constitute one ha'alah. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that if he's male v'chozer v'helo v'chozer v'helo evorim and evorim and evorim of a singular behema, he's chayav only one offense. Omo savar, and Reb Shimon holds akol aver v'aver ksiv. The halacha of ala sholem u'chayav enu chayav ala choser is a reference to individual limbs. Namely, each limb, if it is sholem, is considered a separate ha'alo'o. Rabbi Yossi, just to go over the point again, Rabbi Yossi says, each limb itself is not considered a separate ha'alo'o. An entire behema is considered a single ha'alo'o. And therefore, with regard to Rabbi Yossi, the offering up of multiple limbs of an animal, he is guilty only one offense, for the offense being the offering up of a complete animal. Avol, Aver Echod. However, if there is the offering up of one limb in parts, because hikrivoi lechatzoin. If you have the following situation, and we're giving an explanation according to Rashi, where a person offered up almost an entire animal, came to the end of the offering, let's say the last limb, and that last limb he offered in parts. Divrei hakol eino chayov elo achas. Everyone will agree that a case like that, where he offered up a singular limb after he was makriv all of the limbs of the animal, that last action would not constitute a separate chiyuv. Let's take a look at Rashi for this. Avol be'ever echod v'hikrivoi lechatzoyin la'achar shikriv shar hevorim de'ilu olov levado. If this were to be understood as the offering up of a singular limb by itself, lechatzoyin, namely not after the rest of the animal had already been offered, in such a case, afilu hikriv sholem potar le Rabbi Yossi, even if we were to offer a singular, isolated, complete limb, Rabbi Yossi would have ruled exempt. And yet, however, here we see that Reish Lakish is saying divrei hakol chayav enu chayav elo achas, that there is a chiyuv. So it can't be pshat in this line of avol ever echo divrei hakol enu chayav elo achas, can't be, in order to say divrei hakol, including Rabbi Yossi, that there would be a singular chiyuv, cannot be talking about offering a singular limb in isolation in parts. Because if that were the case, even if that singular limb was offered completely, not in parts, Rabbi Yossi would have said that that is exempt. Therefore, Rashi feels forced into explaining that the case of Eiver Echad is dealing with a case where the a limb was offered after the rest of the behemoth was already offered. If it's offered in parts, the fact that it's offered in parts does not generate multiple offenses. And everyone will agree that in this case, there is not multiple offenses. And this point is coming to Mechadesh, even according to Rabbi Shimon, Eiver Echad that's offered Lichatzoyin is not chayav multiple offenses. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Machloikes be'Eiver Echad. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Tanaic controversy concerns the offering in parts of a singular limb. The case of Hikrivu Lechatzoyin. That case, if a singular limb is offered in parts, according to Rabbi Shimon, there would be a chiyuv on each offering. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no. Demor Sovar, Mukhtarei Pnim Shechosru Veheelah Bachutz Chayov. Rabbi Shimon will hold that something that was, let's say, shechted in the Azora and then became lacking and then was offered outside. So you have a case of chatzoyin, something that's only partial, but it's then offered up outside. That carries with it guilt. And the reason behind this shita is that there's a concept of a piece of meat that was placed on the Beis HaMikdash Mizbeach, that while burning, it jumped off the Mizbeach through the crackling of the heat. It was cast off the Mizbeach. That's called poikin. At that point, it's expected to be restored, returned to the top of the Mizbeach. Well, at that point, is it not choser? True, it's choser, and yet it is something that's roy to be offered. As a result of that, if it's offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, it carries with it guilt. Umor Savar Potter. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, will tell you that Mukhtarei Pnim Shechosru Vehela Bechutz is in fact exempt. What do we mean by exempt? There will, in the case of Eiver Echad, that's according, we're following Rabbi Yochanan for the time being. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the case of Eiver Echad that's offered Lechatzoyin, Rabbi Yossi will say, is exempt from multiple offenses. It will carry with it, in all likelihood, a singular offense. Even though there are multiple actions of offering, nevertheless, it's a case of multiple actions of offering, an Eiver Echad. And Rabbi Yossi will tell you, Eino chayav elo achas. Avol bedalet vehei evorim. However, if multiple complete limbs are offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, Divrei HaKol Chayov, HaKol, Eiver Ve'Eiver, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yossi will agree, that there is a separate Chiyuv for the offering up of each limb. Upliga de Ula. What we've just learned is in opposition to Ula, the Omar Ula. And you can see we've used a bow tie marking, and it's explained on the outside margin and our Mivne heading, Shtei Lashonos Be'ula BePirushel Shel Machlokas HaTanoim Hanal. Two versions of Ula. One is here, and a few lines later, Roman number 2, with is featured as part of an Ikad the Amri, which you can see squiggle underlined on the line where the Roman numeral number 2 appears, where we have a second version of Ula. So let's see what Ula says and how he differs from that which we've learned just before. Diomar Ula, Hakol Moidim, all Tanoim will agree, B'mukdere Pnim, Shechosru Vehelu Bachutz Shechayav. If you focus on the dotted underline, we see that here, and Ula is telling you everyone agrees, that that would be guilty. According to Rabbi Yochanan before, that point was a machloikes. Hence, what Rabbi Yochanan said is at odds with what Ula says. Lo nechliku ela, Ula goes on to say, the machloikes exists, ela b'mukhtarei chutz shechosru ve'ela b'chutz. Something that was slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash and became lacking and then offered on an external altar. Demor sovar, Potter, Umor Savar Chayav. if you have a, only in the case of Mukhtar Echutz, would you then see this Tanaic controversy, one opinion holding that that would be exempt, and the other opinion holding that that's guilty. Ika the Amri, Omar Ula, Hakol Moidim, B'Mukhtar Echutz, Shechosru, V'Helu Bachutz, Shehu Potter. This is a more lenient version of Ula, the second Lashon, where everyone will agree in the case of Mukhtar Echutz that became Choser, that if offered up, will be innocent, will not carry with it guilt. Lo nechliku ella b'mukdrei pnim shechosru v'helu b'chutz. The machlikas tanoim will exist only in the case if it's a mukdrei pnim, something that was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash and then subsequently brought, taken outside to be offered up. The morsavar poter, morsavar chayav. This second version of Ulo would seem to agree with Rabbi Yochanan's approach that said that that case, that Mukhtar Pnim and Chosru Bachutz, Helo Bachutz, would be subject to part of the Tanaic controversy. Upligi de Avua de Shmuel Alishno Kamo de Ula. Very in a moment, we will see what Avua de Shmuel says. The Gemara declares that what Avua de Shmuel is about to say is at odds with the first Lashon of Ula. So before we go on, let's just review the point. The first Lashon of Ula said that according to everybody, including Rabbi Yossi, Mukhtari Pnim Shechosu Vel Bechutz is Chayav. The Omar Avua de Shmuel, Keman Mahadrinon Poikin Legabi Mizbeach. We mentioned this briefly before. Poikin is a situation where you had a sacrifice burning on the Mizbeach, and a part of it, in the crackling heat, jumped off the Mizbeach. At the point that this limb jumped off the Mizbeach, it's now lacking. Part of it was already burnt up. I'm expected to put it back on the Mizbeach. What am I putting back on the Mizbeach? I'm putting back on the Mizbeach something that's choser. This is an example of Mukhtarei Pnim that became choser, and I'm putting it on the Mizbeach. By the fact that I'm putting on the Mizbeach, it shows me that it's a bar hakrova. It's something that's worthy of being offered. And as such, if it were to be offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would carry with it guilt. Well, keman, according to whom does this follow? Deloi k'Rabbi Yossi. This would not be in agreement with Rabbi Yossi. By saying this, Avuah de Shmuel is telling us that according to Rabbi Yossi, the item is a non-bar haktorah. If it's a non-bar haktorah, so we would not machzir it to the Mizbeach, and if you would machzir that bachutz, it would be exempt. Since it's not worthy of being placed on the Beis HaMikdash Mizbeach, if it's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, it would be exempt. Generally speaking, we say that, according to this school of thought, when is there a Chiyuv Chutz on things that are worthy to be brought, Bifnim, things that are worthy to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So, let's go over this point. According to Avuah de Shmuel, Mukhtarei Pnim Shechosru would not be Chayav if done Bachutz, according to Rabbi Yossi. What did the first Lashon of Ula say? That Mukhtarei Pnim Shechosru and Helo Bachutz, everyone would agree, is Chayav, everyone including Rabbi Yossi. So this point is at odds with the Avuah de Shmuel. V'einu Chayav ad Shi'ale L'Roish HaMizbeach, the Mishnah said. Reb Shimon Omer Afilu Helo Ala Sela would be Chayav. We saw in the Mishnah Machlokes between Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon regarding the offering up outside the Beis HaMikdash on a non-constructed altar, on a singular rock. Reb Yossi holding that would be exempt, and Reb Shimon would say that would carry with it guilt. Omar of Huna, my time of the Rabbi Yossi, what is the basis for Rabbi Yossi that says that only on a constructed Mizbeach is there a Chiyuv? Dichtiv, Vayive Noach Mizbeach Lashem. Noach was way before the Beis HaMikdash, so we're talking about a situation outside the Beis HaMikdash, and he offered his offering on a Mizbeach, a constructed altar, showing us that only a constructed altar would be that which is considered worthy of would be considered included in the realm of offering. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. We have a Roman numeral number 1 over here, because later we'll have E Boyes Emo, that you can see several lines later, squiggle underlined, with a Roman numeral number 2 following for a different approach to Rabbi Shimon. So at this point, the Gemara asks, what is the basis for Rabbi Shimon? Dichtiv. Let's just go over. Rabbi Shimon says that even on a non-constructed altar, a rock, even on a rock, there would be a chiyuv of chutz. The tzur being a rock. So Manoach took the animal and offered it up on a rock, showing us that a rock is considered a within the realm of a unit for offering outside the Beis Hamikdash. V'idoch nami v'hoksi v'even mizbeach l'Hashem. Reb Shimon, who says that there's guilt even for a rock, even by using a rock as an altar, does it not say that Noach made a mizbeach? The Gemara answers in defense of Rabbi Shimon, Hahu gova bi'alma. That which it says he constructed an altar, it means he constructed something that would have height to it to make it easier to use. When as opposed to a rock, a lowly singular rock, he constructed as a unit that had height, gova, to make it easier to use. But not to suggest that a mizbeach is ma'akev in this halacha. V'idoch nami hoksiv v'yikach manoach. Rabbi Yossi, who said that there is guilt only if one uses a complete altar, constructed altar, does it not say by Manoach that he used a singular rock? The Gemara answers, Hoi Ruas Shoa Hoi. So that was a one-time event, and as such, one cannot draw conclusions from that. The Iboy Esemo, Hainu Time of the Rabbi Shimon. Another approach suggests that thusly is the reason for Rabbi Shimon that even a singular rock is considered within the realm of offering, Kedisanya, as is taught in the following source. We might as well point out that the following source will be improved later in the Gemara, after the Gemara asks a question on the text, but nevertheless, we will shortly see why Rabbi Shimon will say that the idea of a singular rock outside the Beis HaMikdash is considered a means of offering, which in the case of, let's say, Bomos, would carry with it guilt. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mizbeach Pesach Ol Moed. This pasuk, we must explain, is a pasuk featured at the time when we're referring to a time when bomos, when personal altars were allowed. So the pasuk says, Mizbeach Pesach Moed, we learn, V'ein Mizbeach Bebomo, that the idea of a constructed altar is not binding when you're dealing with an external unit of offering, namely a bomo, personal altar. When dealing with a personal altar, outside of the Oyel Moed, outside of the realm of the Mishkan, a singular stone would be enough. And since we're talking about the Zman of Heter Bamos, if one wanted to offer a personal sacrifice on his personal altar, it would be sufficient for him to use a singular rock. Lefikoch helo ala selo ala even chayov. This phrase is not clear. The Gemara asks chayov. Chayov means it carries with it guilt, but we're talking about a time that private altars are allowed, so why would you say that he's guilty? Yotza mi boyale, it would have been more accurate to say that if a person offers at the time of Heter Bomos, he offers something up, a sacrifice on a rock, he fulfills his requirement. Why does the source use the word chayav? The Gemara answers, hochi komar, thusly we should understand the source. Lefikoch, since the din of Mizbeach does not apply to personal altars, Lefikoch b'shas iser habamos, when personal altars became forbidden, He'elo ala selo ala even chayov, since the Sela or Evan was once a legitimate form of offering. When personal altars became forbidden, the Sela also became forbidden. Even a singular rock would carry with it guilt if one offers up a sacrifice on it at the time of Isser Bomos. Boy, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Karen v'kevish v'yisov v'ribua. These four halachas, the idea of having a corner and a ramp and a base and squareness. Ma'u shi'akvu b'boma. Are these requirements when dealing with a boma? Namely, we mentioned that there was a time in history when bomos were allowed. Are these elements that would have to have been present at a bomas yochid? Omar le Rabbi Yirmiya. Tanya, Rabbi Yirmiya says, we have a Tanaic source that answers the question. Karen v'kevesh ribu aviyasod, the idea of having corners, a ramp, squareness, and a base. Me'akvin b'boma g'doyle v'ein me'akvin b'boma k'tana. They must be present at the boma g'dola. The boma g'dola was the central mizbeach. And Rashi points out, even in the case of Nov and Givon, these were interim periods of time between Mishkan Shiloh, which stood for 369 years, and the eventual building of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a more temporary type Mishkan in Nov and Givon. Even in those places, Nov and Givon had the central public altar. That's called the Boma Gedola. There was a requirement of these elements. However, on a personal altar, these requirements did not exist. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.